We're turning to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, Old Testament history book about the kings of Israel. While you're turning to it, I thought there was one other announcement I omitted to make, and that is preliminary announcement, Friday the 15th. Friday night, the 15th of January, Ballygowan, there will be the opening of their new church hall complex. Now, it's 7:30, and the opening is on a Friday night, the 15th. And it'll be my privilege, Lord willing, to open that new complex and to preach the first message in that new hall. So it's Friday the 15th, if you would please remember that. You've no doubt had people wish you a prosperous and happy new year. You may even have had some people wish you a blessed new year. And I'm glad this morning that we can do more than wish you a blessed new year. We can show from God's word how we can seek the Lord's blessing for this new year. How you can know the success of the Lord upon you, His grace. Now the first 7 or so chapters of the book of 1 Chronicles are all long names, and I'm not going to start to pronounce them. There are over 500 names. It's a genealogy. Remember, we spoke on the genealogy of Christ a few Sunday nights ago. Well, here's a genealogy of the various 12 tribes of Israel, name after name. In 1 Corinthians 3, you'll see names that, with which we're familiar. 1 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Now, these were the sons of David. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. Now, these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron. And you probably recognize some of those names. And then down in verse 5, here's a name familiar to us. Verse 5. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimei, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon. We talked about Solomon, I'm sure, about 6 weeks on the Sunday nights. And there is Solomon. Long, long list of names. But you know, as you go through these lists, there's a wonderful gem, a spiritual diamond that I trust will be a motto for us. I trust you'll memorize it. I trust you'll pray it. I trust you'll repeat it. The Lord warned us against vain repetitions, not against repetitions as such. And turn over to the next chapter for this motto text, this wonderful prayer. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 4, in the midst of all these names, God picks out one man and focuses upon this man. We don't know much about him, but we do know here there's an old prayer for a new year, an old prayer for a new year. And I'm saying this morning as we read it, you take this, memorize it, pray it over. Nothing wrong in praying over a prayer like this. Verse 9 of chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let's, with our Bibles open, ask the Lord to teach us what this means. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this wonderful prayer that this man Jabez prayed. O Lord, we ask that we would have the desire to pray it from our hearts today. Lord, that we too would have our prayer granted. Lord, be gracious to us now as we seek to look into thy word, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Maybe you wonder sometimes, why does God give such long lists of names? And I think this is the longest in any of the Bible. Why does God give long lists of names? Well, one answer is very simple. Because God is interested in the individual. God calls his people by their name. Every sheep, they know his voice. And the Lord is interested this morning in you, personally. Individually. Thank God he's the God of the individual. And all these people we don't know much about. In fact, there's many of them we don't know anything about. except who they were the son of, and we can hardly pronounce the father's name. But God knows them. That's the great truth of these long lists. And yet when you come to this list, you might be inclined to just jump over it in your reading. And yet here is this great spiritual gem, a man called Jabez. Who was he? We don't know much about him. But his name tells us a lot. His name tells us a lot. You see, his name in verse 9 means sorrow. That name, Jabez, it means pain, sorrowful. His mother gave him that name because I bear him with sorrow. You know, I don't know what the future will hold this year, but I'll say this. For most of us here, there will be problems, there will be pains that we will have to face this coming year. And here was a man with a problem. Now, we're not told exactly why his mother called him this. Some commentators wonder, did he have some disability when he was born? That may have been one of the reasons. Though nowadays, of course, there's so much we call them a special child rather than a disabled child. Need special love and care. But it may have been through some disability, we don't know. Or it may have been difficulty in giving birth, or it may have been something happened round about the time that this child was born, some sorrow that came into the family. Whatever it was, this young man was born with the name, or was given the name after his birth, sorrow. I think it was one commentator put it this way, we don't know what his sorrows was, but we know his name was enough of a pain. Mr. Sorrowful. Imagine a young boy going to school and, what's your name? Pain. Sorrow. Heartache. That's the name he got. That's the name. And this young man, it tells us there was pain. And you know, you could be here this morning, suffering. And many will suffer this incoming year. There may be pain and sorrow in your life physically. There could be sorrow and pain in your life emotionally through things that happen. There could be sorrow and pain not only physically and emotionally, but mentally, to suffer from deficiencies or weaknesses. But also spiritually, there could be pain and problems in this incoming year. No wonder Job said in his book, man is born to trouble, just as sparks fly upward from a fire. This man had the name of pain. And I'm saying, we need to be realistic this morning. We don't go in wishing each other a happy Christmas in a sort of a lack of reality, that everything's going to be rosy in the future. It's not. There will be problems. There will be pain. There will be sorrows. We'll suffer them. And maybe as you sit this morning in God's house, you say, that's me, Mr. Johnson. You're describing me. You don't know the emotional pain I have. You don't know the long hours I lay awake at night because of the way I've been hurt by some of the, what they said, what they did, of my situation, of the heartaches in the family, of pain that I've caused by my wrongdoing, and the guilt of my past is there in my mind. Well, here's a message just for you, because many of us this morning have the mark of Jabez upon our life. There's something in her personality that has caused pain. But the question is, how do you deal with it? How will you deal with pain and sorrow in 2010? You see, that pain and sorrow physically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, it can drive people in the wrong ways. It can drive people, as we know too well this time of the year, to alcohol. And my, even this last week on the news, the government are panicking. And they were a few years ago. I remember Tony Blair some years ago speaking about the awful effects of binge drinking. Did you notice that this week the government, about 2 point something billion, it's costing the national health on binge drinking among young people? And the massive, massive hikes in the graphs of cirrhosis of the liver, physical, mental, emotional effects upon the youth of our land through binge drinking. Well, there always was drunkenness, but it's so much worse today. Are many of them driven to it because of sorrows and pain? Driven to drugs? Driven to contemplate suicide? Driven into a prodigal lifestyle? I'm not excusing those things, I'm saying, but pain and sorrow can drive people down those roads. Is that how we'll face sorrow and pain? That's not how this man did. What did he do? What did this man who's called sorrowful? Well, his sorrow drove him to the Bible. See, how do you know that? Well, verse 10 tells you. Verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel. How did he know who the God of Israel was? From the Bible. Now, he didn't have a very big Bible. His Bible was pretty small, the book of Genesis and a few other books, the law. But I believe it drove him to the Bible. And you know, when he read the book of Genesis, he read about a man who's got his name changed from Jacob to Israel. So he called upon the God of Israel. Now, Israel became the name for all the descendants of Jacob. But Jacob got his name. Do you know how? And he read about a man who had a name that wasn't too commendable. Now, we think of Jacob as a wonderful man. It's the name James, by the way. Same thought, same idea. Jacob actually came from a name that meant originally twister, manipulator, schemer, heel grabber. And you know, what he was by name, he was by nature. Remember he stole the birthright and the blessing from his brother? You remember how he lied to his own father and deceived? It wasn't just a quick lie, it was a planned, deliberate, cold, calculated deception of his own father. But one day God came to that man Jacob and said, Jacob, you're no more going to be called Jacob, but you're going to be called Israel. El, the little word God. A prince with God. And then I'm sure when he knew the book of Genesis, he would have read about a young lad who was very like himself. Because over in the book of Genesis and chapter 35, you'll read about verse 18 about Rachel giving birth to a baby boy. And she was dying as she gave birth. And she said, I'm going to call you Benoni. Benoni. That's in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18. You know what Benoni means? Son of my sorrows. I wonder, did he stop when he's reading Genesis and say, there's me. I'm in the Bible. Do you ever do that when you're reading the scripture? If you read the Bible the way you should read it, you should stop and say, my, I'm there. Do you ever see yourself in scripture? You should, because we're all there. We've all sinned. That's one verse we can all apply. And he said, he got a name just like me, sorrowful. Son of my sorrow. But then he would have read a wonderful thing. You know what Jacob, his father, said? No, I'm not going to allow him to be called sorrowful. I'm going to call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. I wonder did he read about that? Being a Jew, if he knew enough from the scripture to call upon the God of Israel, I'm surmising he knew these things as well. And I'll go even further. I wonder, did he realize that those things were a prophecy of Christ? Because all the Bible's a picture of Christ. And Benoni and Benjamin is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a descendant of Jacob is the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In his humanity, Christ became the man of sorrows, but he's also Benjamin, the son of God's right hand. Did he see Christ in the passage? Well, what I'm saying is his sorrow drove him to the Bible, and then it drove him to his knees, because he started to pray. And we're saying, you know the best advice this year, when sorrow and pain and trials come into your life, oh, that it would drive you to the Bible. Oh, that you would be driven to the scriptures, because this scripture, it has great therapy in it. For no matter what the problem in your life is, this Bible has something to say to you and to give you guidance and comfort. This man in his sorrow and pain was driven to the scriptures, and he was driven to supplication. And that's how to meet our problems. Now, he prayed a prayer. Notice in this prayer, it was pretty short in verse 10, wasn't it? Don't judge a prayer by its length. Very short prayer. Very short. And notice he called on the God of Israel. He was a believer. You see, that little expression, don't just jump over it quickly. That shows the God of Israel. That's the name that God is a covenant-keeping God. What does that mean? He keeps his word. This man, he lived in a time when he knew that in the temple, or the tabernacle before the temple was built, there was the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing that God keeps his word, symbolizing the throne of God. There was a mercy seat, solid slab of gold. And every year, the blood of sacrifice on the Day of Atonement was placed upon the mercy seat. The blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You remember the Passover night? The blood of atonement. And he's coming to pray to the God who dwells between the cherubim, the holy God. But he knows he can meet God at the blood-stained mercy seat. Let me translate that into New Testament language. It's you and I coming and saying, Lord, I deserve nothing. I'm only a sinner. I sin. I've disobeyed you. I've wandered from you. But oh, answer me because of Christ. Jesus Christ has died and shed his blood. And now I can come and pray. That's what that means, that little phrase, God of Israel. That's what it means. Of course it does. It's Old Testament language for New Testament truth. He's a man that knew the Lord, a man who'd been saved, who'd come and known his sins forgiven. And he knew he could come and ask God and that God would answer him because he was praying through Christ. Christ is our mercy seat. He has made peace through the blood of his covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what he believed in. Let me very quickly come to his prayer, because that was just the introduction, but I will be brief with communion this morning. Let me show you this prayer. Notice he wanted a special blessing. He says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Me. Lord, I have special problems. Bless me. The blessing that you have for somebody else won't do for me. I need a blessing. You see, he knew his Bible. He knew that years before God had blessed Abraham. I could give you many verses, I have them, but for time or not. You can read in the book of Genesis, God said, Abraham, oh, that you would bless me. God said, Abraham, I will bless you. When Abraham came to die, it said God had blessed him all his life. Then you'll read of Abraham's son after Abraham died. God blessed Isaac, his son. And then Jabez would have read how God not only blessed Abraham, the father of the Jewish race, his son Isaac, but Jacob. One day Jacob wrestled with the angel, not an ordinary angel, it's God the Son. And he said, I'll not let you go except you bless me. And as if Jabez is saying, Lord, you blessed Noah, you blessed Abraham, you blessed Isaac, you blessed Jacob. The high priest every year says on the Day of Atonement, the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, bless me. Have you ever come and ask the Lord for a special blessing? Pray it not just, Lord, bless everybody in the world, but Lord, there's a special blessing that I need in my life. This man knew he needed a special blessing. The hymn that I love is, there anyone can help us, one who understands our hearts, when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts, listen, just the very, very blessing that we need. Yes, there's one, only one, the blessed Jesus. He's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. The very, very blessing that you need in the year 2010. You need a special blessing. This man prayed, Lord, give me a special blessing. That's what I need. But then he wanted a sizable blessing. A sizable blessing. He wasn't being irreverent, but he's saying, Lord, bless me a lot. Where did I get that? He said, bless me indeed. Indeed. That means a lot. Lord, I don't just want a little blessing. I want showers of blessing. As we used to sing sometimes, I remember years ago in the 60s in Ravenhill, it used to be the wee thing, my cup's full and running over. And we used to sing, my cup's full and so's my saucer. We were a wee bit disruptive, but we changed the words. Fullness, he's saying, Lord, give me a great blessing. Bless me a lot. Now, why can we pray that? We don't deserve it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary shed his blood. That's how you can pray with confidence for a special blessing and a sizable blessing. Because when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he died for our sins. He died to obtain gifts for men, Ephesians 4. There's all the blessings. we read in Ephesians 1:3 that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. They're there. But you have to come and ask for them. God delights to bless. He's a gracious God. What is it with God to give? The Lord can give exceeding abundantly, far above all we could ever ask or think. And this man's praying, Lord, give me a great blessing. Give me a wonderful blessing. Oh, but you know, when I think about that, we often use the word bless, and it is a good word, and don't misunderstand me, keep using it. Do pray for people, Lord bless you. But sometimes I wonder, do we really know what we mean? I remember not many years ago reading a book, and the author challenged and said, for a couple of days when you're praying, don't use the word bless. Put it into different words. That's a good challenge, isn't it? What did he mean, bless me? What does that mean? You see, we talk about the Lord bless you. Somebody does us a good turn. Oh, the Lord bless you. Somebody sneezes. Oh, the Lord bless you. So we bless our sneezes. We bless our foods. What does it mean, God bless you? Well, the word bless is the word barak. Maybe you've heard some Israeli, even politicians. Remember Ehud, wasn't it? Barak. It means bless. It means God's favor upon you. God being gracious to you. That's what the word means. It's saying, Lord, I want your grace. And thank God at Calvary, grace was free. He said, I want your grace into my life. Grace, I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I can't merit it. But oh God, that you would pour your grace, your divine favor upon my life. He explains what he means. Because not only does he ask for a special blessing and a sizable blessing, he asks for a specific blessing. Three things. Look at them quickly. He says, oh, that thou wast blessed me indeed. And here's what it means to bless me. Lord, enlarge my coast. Give me a greater place to serve in. What he meant was, give me more opportunities. Enlarge my coast, my territory. You see, in those days, each family was given territory by God. Their land. They weren't to sell it to another people. The only way to get more land was to take it from the enemy. This man's saying, Lord, I want, as Hudson Taylor once prayed, Lord, give me greater usefulness this year. Give me greater usefulness for you. I put it another way. It's right to pray, Lord, bring me into a bigger place of blessing this year. A bigger place of seeing that what I've never seen before. Of doing what I've never been able to do before. Of being what I've never been before. Lord, help me to do greater things for your glory. To have greater usefulness. Lord, enlarge our coast. And that's the prayer we're praying. Lord, enlarge this building. Enlarge our ground. Give us bigger ground behind. To put up this extension. An appropriate prayer to pray. Lord, give me a greater place to serve in. But then, look what he next prays. Lord, give me greater power to serve with. He said, enlarge my coast and that thine hand might be with me. He realized if God gave him opportunities, that's not enough. Because I need the power to fulfill those opportunities. I need strength. Thine hand, the hand of God was in Elijah. The hand of God was in Nehemiah. We read, remember a few weeks ago, the church at Antioch? The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. There's a prayer to pray this year. Lord, put your hand upon us that we'll see people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Put your hand upon us that we will know the power of doing what we ought to do. You see what he's praying? Lord, give me a greater place to serve in, more opportunities. Are you praying that for this year? Lord, give me opportunities to serve you. And Lord, give me a greater power to serve you with. And then he prays thirdly, and Lord, give me a greater protection to serve by, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. You see, he realizes that God could give him greater opportunities. God could give him his power, the ability to do it, but if he falls into sin, he'll not bring glory to the Lord. And he'll hurt himself. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be able to pray, Father, forgive me. Lord, forgive. I confess my sins. Thank God there's forgiveness. But listen, we should also be praying like Jabez, Lord, keep me from sin. Lord, keep me from doing those things that will bring harm to you. He knew that he needed protection. You see, this man is not a proud man. He's a humble man, and he's saying, Lord, I want greater opportunities to serve you. I need a greater sense of your power upon me. But Lord, I need greater protection. Somebody once wrote this, with every new level comes a new devil. Now, of course, that's not theologically correct. There's only one devil. But I know what the writer meant. There comes fresh attacks. Fresh danger. Fresh danger that we could slip. Isn't it interesting? He says, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. That's a play on words in Hebrew. Saying, it's Jabez praying it. You know what it actually is in Hebrew? Lord, keep me from sin or evil that it may not Jabez me. His name's Jabez. See what I mean? It's a pun. It's a play on words. Lord, don't let me be a Jabez in the sense of the meaning of his name. Lord, that's what I would be. I would just be somebody who would cause sorrow to others. Cause sorrow to you as my God. And cause sorrow to myself. Lord, if you don't protect me this year, I will cause pain and bring pain. He understood the boomerang effect of sin. He understood the boomerang effect of sin. And he's saying, Lord, keep me pure this year. Keep me holy. So that it won't bring grief into my life. Notice this prayer. He prayed for a special blessing. Bless me. He prayed for a sizable blessing. Expect great things from God. Lord, bless me indeed. Bless me lots. He prayed for a special blessing. He wanted a greater place to serve in. Greater power to serve with. Greater protection to serve by. Was he successful? Did God answer his prayer? Well, it tells you there, doesn't it? It tells you in verse 10. God granted him that which he requested. The word grant there has the idea of giving generously with great pleasure. It's interesting in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I wonder, does that mean that his brothers, they weren't interested in the Lord's blessing? They were just drifting along in life. They were just drifting along with no aim. No thought of wanting God's blessing in their life. No thought at all. But this man had a goal. This man had an aim. And his aim was, I need. Oh, he said, oh, that in Hebrew is like five exclamation marks are underlining it. It's not just put in there by the translators. It means, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And when he had that tremendous desire, the Lord granted him what he requested. And whatever your need is this morning, if you'll come through Christ with that oh in your heart, the Lord will grant it. Is it the blessing of salvation? Is it the blessing of being absolutely sure that your sins are forgiven? For remember, 1 John 5:13 says this book was written that you might know that you have eternal life. That you might know for sure. Is it for the blessing of knowing salvation? Look back over at chapter 2 to show you how the Lord blessed. This is very interesting. As I said, it's a gem, this man. Go back to chapter 2, and we're almost finished. Just very quickly, chapter 2. See, did God answer his prayer? Well, you look closely at chapter 2 a moment. And we're way down the end of the chapter, verse 55. And the families of the scribes, so let me stop there and explain it. The scribes were from the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi didn't get any land. They dwelt in 50 cities throughout the different tribes, Judah, Benjamin, Issachar, Naphtali, Zebulun, and so on. And it says there were scribes. They were the ones in society who were the priests and the rulers who knew the law. They were important men in society. So if you got this now in chapter 2, verse 55. So this is listing people from that area. In other words, these genealogies are not in chronological order. Don't think chapter 4 follows chapter 2 in the sense of time. It doesn't. It's giving the descendants of different people. So watch it carefully. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at... There's the name again, Jabez. Now, we're not told too much about it, but it seems when God said this man was honourable, God answered his prayer. And this man who knew sorrow, possibly been a cause of sorrow in his own life, he became a blessing. And so much so that it seemed they named a city after him. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing he got. And the good thing is God is able to bless you. He blessed him indeed. Your name might be like Jabez, Mr. Sorrow, or Mrs. Payne. But yet you can know joy this year. You see, whatever his handicap was, Jabez learned to call upon the Lord. He learned to see himself in Scripture. He learned to supplicate before the Savior. And God gave him his request. Don't let Satan tell you that you're a nobody. That you can do nothing. That you're unappreciated, unknown, that you're undeserving. That you could never receive God's blessing. That you're unimportant. No, Jabez is there, if you feel like that, to tell you this morning, don't believe it. You can come before God who delights to take the nobodies and the unknowns and to pour out his grace and give you a blessing. God can do a special thing in your life in 2010. And it begins with the most important blessing of all, to know Christ as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we confess that we often doubt. We wonder, could God do something special with my life? Can God do something special through this church? Can God do something special for us in this year? Lord, we often doubt, and yet Jabez this morning would tell us, yes, we can call upon the God of Israel. Oh Lord, for any especially we pray who need that blessing of salvation, Lord, assure them that if they call upon thee, that thou wilt have mercy and save them. Bless those who must go. Remain with those who remain around thy table, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.